Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org. All right, well, welcome. Hey, before we begin today's message, I want to tell you about something that I've done. Last Sunday, May 22nd, 2022, whenever you happen to be watching this. So on May 22nd, 2022, I gave a teaching on things that we can pray from the Bible during lockdown. And it was an application of a teaching from Rick Warren, as we've been going through the series 40 Days in the Word, on one way that we can engage with the Bible is by praying the Bible. We can use God's word to us to be our word to him. And so on the 22nd, May 22nd, last Sunday here today, I gave six different ways that we can use the Bible, that I am using the Bible to pray my words or God's word back to him. So actually, in preparation for last week, I had 10 different things. I gave six, but I had 10 different things that I've been praying. So what I did was I recorded four more ways to use the Bible so that we can pray to our Father in heaven using his word as our words to him. So if you'd like to go to the Shanghai Community Fellowship YouTube channel, go to youtube.com and you'll find the Shanghai Community Fellowship channel. You'll find a second teaching on four more ways to pray from the Bible during lockdown. So I want to tell you about that, and it's there. And if you want to, you can go and find it there and pick up four more ways to pray from the Bible. All right, so today, this is going to be the last message in this series on 40 Days in the Word. Now, we've been going at this now for 6 weeks, and let me tell you a little bit about how all this started. So way back at the end of 2021, we as a leadership team at SCF, we really felt that an emphasis for our community going forward into the first half of 2022 should bring us back to this calling upon us as Jesus's people to make disciples. And it's just so much a part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. As followers of Jesus, Jesus has empowered us and challenged us and called us to make disciples for him. It's a part of who we are. And it's not only a part of who we are. It's what makes us unique. It's one of the things that makes us unique. I mean, there are things that we do as the body of Christ or as a local church that that are familiar to our community, that are similar to our community. We might offer care, we offer counseling, we offer fellowship, we bring people together in groups, we have fun together. And at those times, we might look like any other group, right, or organization. But when it comes to making disciples, that is unique to the body of Christ. Only Jesus's people are out and about making disciples for Jesus. And we really felt that we needed to come back to this calling, that this is our calling to make disciples for Jesus. And this was, of course, before we knew there was going to be any kind of a lockdown like we're in right now here in May, at the end of May 2022 in the city of Shanghai, still in a lockdown. And hopefully soon we'll getting some relief as things start to be released, as at least that's what we're looking forward to. And so not only did we kind of want to come back to this call and commission to make disciples, we also said that there's plenty of research out there to tell us that maybe the most effective way that we have to making disciples, and for you and I as Jesus followers today, to continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus, is in reading the Bible, understanding its meaning, and applying it to our lives. Maybe the most significant and effective way to follow Jesus and be strengthened and grow in following Jesus is to engage with the Bible. Read it or listen to it, understand its meaning, and then apply it to my life. And we said, let's come back to that. And here's another reason. It's not only our commission. It's not only effective and fruitful, as I often like to say, but it's portable. When no matter where we live, and whether we are in Shanghai or whether we're packing up and moving this summer, or maybe we're listening today and we're living in another city right now, in the changes and the seasons of our lives, young, old, whether we're a new Christian or an older, mature believer in Jesus, no matter where you find yourself and whatever season you or whatever wherever you're living, knowing the Bible, understanding its meaning, and applying it to your life is going to help you. It's going to help you no matter where you are, who you are, or what season you find yourself. It is a lifelong investment in you and an investment in your relationship with Jesus as he becomes more and more and transforms you and me into his likeness. And the Bible is absolutely key. It's beautiful and it's portable. You can take it with you wherever you go. You know, we like to say here at Shanghai Community Fellowship, because we've always been such a transient church. People are coming and going all the time, right? And we would say, as people would stand up on their last Sunday, or as we heard from Con and Emily last week here online, as they sat on their couch to tell us this was their last Sunday, people would talk about their time here. And you might have heard me say this before, you know, when people would talk about how great their time was in Shanghai, and especially at SCF, you know, that always made us, those of us who are part of this community and especially leaders, always made us feel pretty good. You know, oh, that's really great. I mean, that's kind of what we were going after. And to know that of course, we're sad that you're leaving, but to know that God really met you here in this city through this community that we are all a part of, well, that was just a great thing to hear and receive. But equally, it was upsetting and to hear often, unfortunately often, how some of those same people, whenever they got to wherever they were going, whether that was back to their home country or their next assignment, back in the day when we were moving around the world so much more, that there was such a big struggle. You know, well, I loved SCF and I loved my time in Shanghai, but you know, I'm back home, or I'm into this new city and I just haven't found a church. I haven't found a new community of Jesus people, nothing like I knew at SCF. I'm really struggling. I don't know what to do. And we were disturbed for them. We were concerned, you know, like, oh, that's really terrible, you know, to kind of get kind of lost out there without a community to be attached to. And we know how hard that is. And we realized that at least one thing we could do to help people as they prepared to leave was to, again, bring them back to the Bible, because it's a resource that will always serve us. And even if we find ourselves in between times or in a new place, we don't know anybody, and we're still trying to connect to a new group of Christians called a church where we feel like we're at home. And even if we have to look a couple times and search for a while, the Bible is going to continue to feed us and strengthen us. God speaking through his word is going to continue to give us hope and courage and build up our faith and challenge us and also comfort us. We know that's a resource that's going to continue to serve us, especially as we transition. So it was another time to come back and put a focus on the Bible, engaging with the Bible. And we've been doing this, some of you may remember, we have been doing this ever since January. So now we're at the end of May, and we've been doing this all spring, the first half of 2022, bringing a focus back to the Bible. And that's why we went into this series called 40 Days in the Word, a series that we are finishing today, Now, as we look at the Bible itself and engaging with the Bible, and I looked at this more closely, of course, I've been spending a lot of time here. And I believe that in order to grow and thrive in Christ, while we are engaging him through his word, through the Bible, there are two gaps that we are going to have to overcome. We're going to have to close two gaps. And the one gap is the culture gap. We're going to have to close the culture gap in order to thrive and engage with Christ through his word, the Bible. And we're going to have to close the experience gap as well. You know, Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 14, he said it this way. He said, I pray with my mind and I pray with my spirit. And in that short phrase, he's just reminding us that God has given us a mind and he's given us the spirit. And we have a spirit that is awakened through our relationship with Jesus. And these two, the mind and the spirit, are not opposed to each other. But in Christ, the mind, our minds and our spirit, having been awakened by Jesus, come together and are aligned with each other. And with the mind and with the spirit, God is leading us to overcome these two like gaps, the culture gap and the experience gap. Now, I'm going to say more in a moment. So let's begin by looking at closing the first gap, which is the culture gap. Now, so by now, you probably already know that when God chose to reveal himself, he chose to reveal himself most significantly through the written word. He gave his word spoken to individuals over time and in a place in history, in a particular culture and time in history, using their language. God chose to reveal himself and to have them write down his word, his words that would not only be his word to them at that time, but would be his word to all of his people in every generation. That's just how God chose to go with that. Now, you know, in other words, he didn't drop tablets out of heaven, golden tablets out of heaven, written in the language of angels that no one could read or make any sense of. He chose to work through people in a particular history and culture and language, all of their idioms, all of their metaphors, all of their strange to us historical and cultural references, right? That's how he chose to do it. And there's a word for that. And the word for that is incarnation. That's how he did it. And when we read the Bible, as you quickly understand, if you've ever, and I hope you have, picked one up and read it, especially when you were reading it the first time, you realize pretty quickly, this is all these things I'm reading about, they've happened in a different time. This is not a contemporary piece of literature. What I'm reading in the Bible just didn't happen last week or last year or even 10 years ago. These things that I'm reading about and were originally written were written, in some cases, thousands of years ago, thousands of years ago, in a different culture, using different languages. And so we realize automatically, most of us will see almost immediately as we start to read the Bible, there is a culture gap. And reading it, we have to take on then, and understanding its meaning, the task of bridging that gap and overcoming that gap so that what made sense to them makes sense to us. God's word to them is now God's word to us as we do the work of crossing that cultural gap. You know, it's kind of like one person used this analogy. They said it's like walking into a beautiful building that was built in a different era, long before we were ever born, right? And you walk into this beautiful building, and sometimes you can walk into an older building like that, and it might feel a little strange, right? Or unfamiliar because, well, they just don't build buildings like this anymore. And to understand what's going on in this building and what you're experiencing when you walk into this beautiful yet old and unfamiliar building, it helps to know a little bit about the history, about the history of architectural restraints and design at that particular time. It would also help to know what the building codes were, the local building codes at the time that was built. It would be helpful to know the architect's intention or the design for that building when it was first built, the planning that went into it. What did they want this building to accomplish when they built it? All those things would come into our understanding to make the unfamiliar familiar to us and increase our appreciation for that particular building. All right, let me use another analogy to help explain this crossing the cultural gap, as we realize that there was a purpose and an intention that God brought when he gave it, his word to those people to write it, and now is with us today. It's like the cultural gap is like a hammer. Like a hammer, right? Hammer and nails. And we're going to give you a picture of a hammer here that you can see. But it's like a hammer. Now, you can use a hammer for more than one thing. You can use, unfortunately, you can use a hammer as a weapon. You can use a hammer as a doorstop. You got a door that keeps closing on its own. It won't stay open. So you take a hammer from your toolbox, and you jam it there, put it up next to the door. Now the door doesn't close. Or you can use a hammer to prop something up. This thing keeps leaning over. So you use a hammer to kind of wedge yourself in there, and now it stays up, right? But that is not the design of a hammer. A hammer is designed to pound nails and pull nails. So, and likewise, the word of God, the Bible, was given to us with design. When we cross the culture gap, when we make the effort to understand the design and purpose of God's word, when we make the effort to understand that God would reveal himself in that culture at that time, in their language, and to bridge that gap between our time and that time, the benefit is ours, because we hear the heart of the Father. As he revealed himself then, he is revealing himself now. As he revealed himself in his word then, he is revealing himself in his word to us today, crossing that cultural barrier. Remember this, that when it comes to the Bible, it has to mean, at least at the very least, what it meant to them when they first read it. Imagine you're in the first century and you're living in the region of Galatia, and you get a letter from Paul, and it's being passed around to all the churches in that region of the world called Galatia. And you're one of the people that attend a local house church, and they tell you, hey, this coming weekend, we're going to read a new letter from Paul. And someone stands up to read that letter, and you're thinking, what does this mean? I don't know. I don't know what this means. What's he referring to? It's just totally confusing to me. I don't know. No, you understood it. It meant something to you because you lived at that time. It all kind of came together. Paul was just recently here, and you know him personally. He just was speaking, last year here in our house church. So it all kind of comes together. It meant something to them. And that's where we pick the story up. As it meant something to them, it means something to us today. That same message is coming through. Once we understand what the biblical text communicated in its first context, then the challenges that are met there and the comforts that are met there in that setting become real to us as well. It's then and only then, when we bridge this cultural gap, that we really begin to hear God's word to us today. Remember, this is really telling us something about God, isn't it? Because as he chose to reveal himself, incarnate his word in a particular history and culture and time, so God would one day incarnate himself in the living word when Jesus would live among us, the incarnate son would dwell among us. He didn't send an angel, just like he didn't send angelic words on a golden text dropped out of the sky. He didn't send an angel. He was incarnated with us to be God with us. It seems to be a thing with God. He wants to come to be with us in the place and time that we live. And that's the first gap. I love something that Paul says here. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. In the end, we must submit to the word itself and allow his word, his written word, the Bible, to shape us. Now, today, we're giving some resources, and they are going to be in the chat feature here as you're listening to this on this Sunday. in May of 2022. Those resources are going to be in the chat function. We'll put them there so that you can have some tools and resources to help you bridge that cultural gap. We'll put them on our YouTube channel as well. Now let's pause for a second, because there's a couple of things I think we need to see before we talk about culturing, bridging the experience gap. And one is that it is possible, and it's something we need to watch out for, it is possible to engage with the Bible, but not experience the God that we meet in the Bible. It's possible to receive God's word, but not to meet the God who has sent his word to us. You say, oh, is that really possible? I mean, how is that possible? It is. It's possible to read the Bible, which is the Bible Project guys say, is the unified story that leads us to Jesus. So it's possible then to read this unified story, but never meet Jesus. It's possible to read about people who in the Bible who are trusting God, but never trust him ourselves. It's also possible to read stories about people who are experiencing the love of God, who are engaging with the Father and his love, but never know that love ourselves. Now, again, something I think we need to pause and recognize before we go on to crossing the experience gap is this, that none of us approach the Bible without bias or prejudice. Every time, or the first time, we pick up a Bible, there's expectations, there are thoughts in our head. I think I'm going to expect this. I'm looking for this. I've heard this is a book that Christians read. I'm going to find out now why it's not true, and I'm not going to believe anything I read here. I'm reading it as a critic. I'm reading it as a believer. I'm reading it with uncertainty and ambiguity. You know, we just don't come as blank pieces of paper. And as we begin to read the Bible, although we don't come without bias or prejudice, it is possible to choose the way we approach the Bible. It is possible to choose the way we approach the Bible. And can I encourage you today to choose to read the Bible with faith? Choose to read the Bible with faith. Reading with faith means reading the Bible with expectations. Expectations that God is going to speak. Because the God to you today, because God, the God who spoke in his word then and there, is still present and speaking today and now. So read the Bible with faith. I would encourage you to not just to read the Bible from left to right, if that's how you read where you're from, or from right to left, if that's how you read, or from up to down, or from down to up, or from front to back, however you've been trained to read. But I would encourage you to read the Bible from darkness into light, from darkness into light. And remember that it's God's view that is the only one that is complete. So we submit to his revelation, because submitting to his word is the wisest thing that we can do. It's God's view that is the one that is complete. And it's God's spirit that is going to help us with this. It's God's spirit as we read the Bible that, if you will allow him to surface within us the biases and the prejudice that we sometimes bring to reading the Bible, that the Holy Spirit is going to help us with that and bring those to light so that I can see, you know what, I'm really engaging something now, not in the Bible, but in my own experience and out of my own history, that's preventing me from really fully hearing God speaking through his word. And don't settle for secondhand. I remember years ago, or a secondhand experience. Now, I remember years ago, and this has happened to me more than once over the years, but one particular time stands out to me, that I realized I had gotten into this rhythm and a pattern of reading less and less of the Bible. I realized that I was actually reading very little of the Bible. Now, I was reading a lot of devotionals about the Bible. So I was reading more about other people as they engaged with the Bible. And that's what I was focusing on. Now, nothing wrong with devotionals. I'm not criticizing devotionals here. Don't hear me say that. But it was, I had kind of a moment where I realized, you know, I'm actually spending a lot of time reading about other people engaging with the Bible while I am not engaging with the Bible. And I shifted to spending more time engaging so that I could have a firsthand experience, not a secondhand experience, but a firsthand experience moving from darkness to light. And I would encourage you, as you read the Bible, to read with trust. Reading the Bible as truth and with trust means trusting the one who has given this word to you. He can be trusted. And it's something we can all know to do. So what we want is an experience with God through the Bible as we bridge the culture gap, and an experience with God through the Bible as we experience the, as we bridge the experience gap. And this is something that actually God is making available to us. He's going to help us with this. So let's talk about, secondly, closing the second gap, which is the experience gap. Now, we should expect to experience God when we read his word. I mean, after all, anytime the third member of the Trinity, anytime the Holy Spirit is present, we should expect to be in present. We should expect to be engaging with God himself. God himself is present by the Spirit. We experience God as we read the Bible. Our cultures change, yes. Methods will change, absolutely. But God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all of us, as Christians, as believers in Jesus, followers of Jesus, should be ready and expect to and welcome the Holy Spirit's presence to bring us into an experience with the living God. All right, so as we read the Bible and we read that there's a group of people who are experiencing God, my expectation is to cross that gap so that I'm one of those people who's also experiencing God as they did, hearing his voice and following his lead, following the true God in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the one who's providing the Spirit guidance for us, the dynamic that will not only welcome you into this experience, but also the ability to hear his voice and experience God. The Holy Spirit has got us covered. Now, if this sounds a little strange to you or even a little scary, maybe, I'm not sure if I want to open myself up to experiencing God as they did, knowing trust as they knew trust, knowing faith as they knew faith, knowing love, the love of the Father, as they knew the love of the Father, going as they went, you know, as Hebrews 11 teaches. I'm not sure. Remember that day one with your walk with God, day one that when you first had Jesus revealed to you, that itself was an act of the Spirit. The reason we know that we are God's children is an act of the Spirit's presence. We read in Romans 8, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Or the way that we know that God loves us is also the leading of the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Being led by the Holy Spirit into a dynamic experience with God as they knew, as we read about it in his word, is the very characteristic, essential characteristic of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Romans 8, verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Or Revelation, the first couple of chapters, where Jesus continues to reveal himself to church after church after church, it says, let them listen to what the Spirit has to say to the churches. This is God's voice that we hear in his word, not my voice. I'm not listening to my voice in his word. I'm listening to the voice of the Spirit of God in his word. And this is the gap I have to cross. No longer my voice, but his voice that I'm experiencing as I read and engage with the word of God and with the God of the word, the Bible. It's his voice. I like something Jesus said here. He said to them, Matthew 13, verse 52, therefore, let every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven be like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. as we engage with the Bible, as we cross those gaps of the culture of another time, of an old day, of an ancient time, as we cross that gap of experience between my experience and the experience of the people of God there and then, we bring out of the treasure house of our Father, both old and new, so that our lives are rich and full because of his word to us. You say, oh, great, I'm sold. I want to do this. Okay, how do I do this? Let me give you one way. Let me give you one way that this happens. And that's by making analogies and finding applications. As we become more and more familiar with the voice of God, a voice that we hear and experience in his word, the Bible, our expectations will become more and more kingdom of God realistic. Kingdom of God realistic. The Bible helps our shaping, helps to shape our hearing of God's voice. Read it over and over. Keep reading it. Because as you're reading the Bible, what's happening is that you are recognizing, you are learning to recognize the voice of God by reading the Bible. And that's going to serve us. And it enables us and empowers us to start to make analogies and application. And by analogies, what I'm saying is that it enables us to be able to say with confidence, this thing that I'm experiencing now in my life today, this circumstance, these thoughts, this happening that I'm experiencing now today is like that which I read about in the Bible. We are making an analogy between then and there and here and now. The Holy Spirit is enabling us to make a meaningful analogy and then apply his truth to our life. And this is what he's allowing us to do. So when we do things like go out because of his name, remember years ago, I've heard this story. It's been my story, Becky and I, but others as well. Second John talks about going out because of the name of Jesus, or Hebrews 11 talks about those who went out in faith. Abraham looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I remember a time like literally when we first came to China in 2001, it was like going out because of the name of Jesus, looking for something from our Father, a place where we could go and belong, a place where he would send us. It was like an analogy that we made between Abraham and another time where this man was also sent and responded to that calling by faith. He left his home to go. So we left our home to go as well, making a simple analogy between then and there and here and now. God is going to enable you to make those kinds of analogies and make those kinds of applications from his word to your life today. You know, years ago, and I guess I'm thinking many years ago, Middle Ages, the morality play was a big deal. They were everywhere. And if you ever got a chance to read some of those morality plays from the Middle Ages, wow, they were pretty heavy-handed, at least from my point of view. And I'm an American living at the end of the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st century. Anyway, we are not any, there are still lots of morality writing, morality plays equivalent still today, or myths. But the Bible is not a morality play. Some people think it is. And the Bible is not a myth. And some people think it's a myth. It's not. The Bible is a book made up of many books, which is more like the breath of God. And the breath of God is the breath of life. And as God breathed on the making of this book we call the Bible, he breathes on those who engage with his book, the Bible, today, to lead us to an experience, a life-giving experience with him, an experience with the living God who not only breathed on men who would write his words to us, not only breathes on us as we engage with him, reading his word to us today, not only empowering us today by the Spirit to cross these gaps so that we might experience him today, but breathing upon us today that we might have life in his name. Now, as we wrap things up today, we wrapped up this series. I'm talking particularly to those who are living in Shanghai, China today. This is where our community is based. And we are and have been going through some tremendous, tremendous changes. Maybe half of our community, the international community here in Shanghai, will be leaving in the next 6 months to a year. Lots of changes, a lot of moving. And if you're not leaving, you're one of the ones who will be staying. But those of us who will be staying will be facing what many believe will be a new normal. Things will have probably in this next year so shifted that we will clearly notice that we've crossed a line someplace. It's not like it used to be. In other words, there's been tremendous shifting that has gone on and is going on right now. We've not even seen the end of this. We need a guide. We need strength. We need the Spirit of God. And here's a beautiful thing and the loving heart of our Father. He has given us his word to take with us. If you're leaving this summer, if you're leaving in the fall, if you're resettling right now, if you're staying and facing tremendous change so that you'll hardly recognize the city that you lived in 5 years ago, pack your Bible, take your Bible, take God's word to you. Don't leave. Don't resettle without his word to you and me today. Let's pray. Father, I pray and give thanks because you're reminding us that your word is a living word. Your word goes out and it doesn't return without being fruitful and effective for your kingdom and those who believe and trust in you. And you put this beautiful resource, your living word, into our hands today. And I thank you for this. It's more of a gift than we can possibly realize. I thank you, Father, for the many who even these last 6 months have started engaging with you through your word. It's happening. Little by little, we are growing and being drawn closer to you through your word. Continue to speak to us today. Let us become familiar with your voice through your word, the Bible, so that we might hear your voice as we go throughout our days, as we transition and move from place to place, because you are with us. And this is your promise to us. May Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, be exalted in us. May your kingdom come and may heaven and earth meet in us and where we live today. In Jesus' name, amen.